Visiting with the IHSA's Kurt Gibson, let's talk about esports. As an advisory committee has been formed within the IHSA and declared an emerging sport last year. And I guess first up, Kurt, it sounds like this is starting to pick up a little steam. You have the first advisory committee meeting earlier this month.
Thanks for having me on, Jim, and it's always good to talk with you. When we think about esports, I would agree. It seems that there is some momentum there. We actually have been talking about esports with our board for close to a year probably, and they're aware that a lot of schools are participating in that. Our board's aware of how popular it is, and when you couple what we know here in Illinois with what had been happening nationally, our board said, hey, we need to study this, and the best way for us to do that is put together an advisory committee, and we had our first meeting here just a long week or so ago.
And I know one of the first things you look at, again, talking about esports, a lot of people listening say, well, what are you talking about esports? What does that mean? Well, we're basically talking about video gaming. You look at participation numbers right now. I think there's 850 some odd member schools within the IHSA or thereabouts. Do you have an idea right now of how many schools have esports? And I know one of the thresholds you always look at, if you want to develop a state tournament series, one of the thresholds you look at is, let's start at 10% of the member schools. So where do you think you're at right now with that?
That's a great question. We have, as I think you've alluded to, we've got this emerging sport and activity list, and that's the best way for our association to track participation levels in these sports and activities where we don't have a state series. On that list currently, we have 37 schools that have signed up. That's maybe close to half of some of this like magic 10% number that we're hoping to get to at someday down the road. There's, interestingly, though, a group, a sort of a loosely formed association called the IHSEA, the Illinois High School Esports Association, that governs some competitions in our state. And they would have us believe that that number is larger based on participation in events they've put on. So a big part of what we're trying to do here at the end of this school year, and likely it'll take us all of next year, is get information out to our schools about the importance of signing up on the emerging sports and activity list if their school is participating in esports. But so we think we're somewhere between, 37 and probably 70 schools, truth be told, around the state, and that might even be a little bit low, that are currently participating in esports.
Okay, so I mean, really, you're looking for serious consideration for a state tournament series. I mean, you're looking probably, you need at least over 100 some odd schools before it to be under serious consideration, I'd assume.
Yeah, I think that's probably, fair. I think if we get close to that number and we're still a little south of it, the board can, take some action anyway. But yeah, I think if we can get into that kind of number you're suggesting there, that shows that there's real interest across the membership.
Do you think there's a realistic timeline? Because I think as a lot of people listen to this, I think they'll say, well, yeah, we want an esports team, or we got an esports team. I would think that the numbers are probably going to take off at a pretty good rate. Do you have a realistic timeline where you'd say we think we really could have an IHSA state tournament series in esports?
Based on that first conversation we had with the advisory committee, and certainly those folks are very passionate and enthusiastic, and there's no hurdle too large that they can't find a way around, at least at this point, I don't believe next school year, the 2019-2020 school year, is realistic for any kind of state tournament in esports. I'm not going to rule out, though, the possibility of something maybe in 2020-2021. That's still a little ambitious, but that's not out of the realm of possibility that as soon as two school years from now, we could be offering an esports competition.
And I know we'll continue to follow it. I know one of the things that the advisory committee looks at, and we're talking to Kirk Gibson with the IHSA, is you want to make sure the games that are chosen are appropriate for a school setting, high school-aged audience. And I think some of the games that were mentioned, I know some of these, but some of these I'm like, what? I have no idea. League of Legends, Overwatch, Smash, Rocket League, NBA 2K, FIFA, and NHL. And I know Kurt Gibson was probably a kid that grew up maybe in the 70s or 80s, and he probably wanted Pong, but they're not getting Pong.
Right. Or I was really good at the Mattel electronic handheld game.
Yeah, we need this. Yeah, maybe you guys can have an in-house state tournament series down there.
Right.
But do you want to talk about, you know, I guess those are some important conversations of deciding what games would be chosen for a state tournament series, right?
Without a doubt. And we spent a good amount of time at our first meeting having a preliminary discussion around the kinds of games that might make sense. And certainly there are a lot of factors that will ultimately go into making those kinds of decisions. We want games that are high school appropriate. I think I can speak based on that conversation the committee had. You know, we don't want to get into games that involve like single person shooting kinds of games, when there are popular video games out there that allow people to do that. You know, the kinds of things that our committee really focused on in their discussion was, you know, if we're going to have a day when we offer esports, we want to have the opportunity to involve as many students as we can. There are 5-on-5 games where teams of 5 compete against another team of 5. And, you know, if any of your listeners have ever had a chance to watch those kinds of games in person, the similarities between what goes on in an esports game and a basketball game or a volleyball game are really incredible. There's communication amongst the team. Everybody's got a certain role, and when they all work together to perform their role to the best of their ability, their team is successful. So they want to, you know, our committee talked about having a 5-on-5 game. There are also other 1-on-1 games or 2-on-2 games that people can play, and that's maybe where the sport games tend to come in, like the FIFA and the NHL and the NBA 2K kinds of things, because those games require different skills. And again, the committees had talked about trying to involve as many students as we can, recognizing that games require different skills and different strategies and different critical thinking components. And so instead of being limiting and just saying, we're only going to do this one game, and if you like video gaming but you don't like a 5-on-5 game for some reason, oh, too bad, you can't participate. So they were trying to think in the most inclusive manner they could. And so at least initially their discussion focused on games that involve multiple levels of players and were appropriate for a high school kind of setting.
I thought the other thing that came out of this first advisory committee meeting, again, we're talking with the IHSA's Kurt Gibson about esports within the IHSA. And I'm going to read this verbatim here, and then I'll just ask you to, you know, respond to it. The committee expressed their concern that if a state series is created, it should not be done in a manner that only allows those students who can afford some of the higher-end technical tools to participate. You know, that's kind of a big hurdle to get around. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, one of the interesting unique features to esports will be the technology piece that it brings now into the schools, but then also for the individual competitors. And so the committee talked about as we work with the committee to think about games and rules that would be followed, there might have to be some consideration made that for some of the games there'll be a standard of equipment that will be provided, and that's all. And everybody will be on the same playing field, if you will. And so, if the folks who maybe, if we wanted to, and I don't know that this is a real good analogy, but if we thought of it in in terms of golf, maybe we would have a game where we said everybody's going to play with the exact same ball and the exact same clubs, and it's really going to be how well you can hit the ball. Sort of apply that to esports. Everybody's going to have the same computer console, nobody's going to be able to bring in, because this is what happens in some of these events. Students have their own gaming console, their own gaming mouse or keyboard, and that can help a player maneuver through the game more quickly than an opponent who doesn't have that high-end kind of technology. Just like maybe in golf, if I can't afford the really expensive driver that hits the ball farther, I might be at a little bit of a disadvantage to somebody who could afford that. So the talk was there might be some games where this just standard equipment for everybody would be provided and everybody would use that. Now, there could be other games where if you have a different kind of headset or console, you could bring that. But that was a concern of the committee because they didn't, again, wanted to be inclusive. And if you allow people to bring the most technologically advanced equipment, that could put, you know, somebody at a disadvantage.
So that's interesting then with the terms and conditions then of trying to create that for you know, an e-sports situation. That's when you bring up that with what kind of equipment you can use. Man, that you talk about like a gray area in developing the terms and conditions. And I'm sure there's some boilerplate language that you probably can use because I know this is kind of taken off collegiately, so I know they have to have some terms and conditions and rules that they have to follow.
Yeah, and that was the sense that the committee gave. I'm certainly internally here in our office, we're all still learning seemingly daily about this activity. And so, but the committee felt as though, yes, those kinds of that, or that kind of language is out there, because it also sort of tied into the discussion we had that they sort of bounced around this idea. If we got to a point where we had a state series, how would we participate? In other words, you know, right now, a lot of the competitions that these schools are sort of doing on their own, the team from Bloomington playing the team from Mercer County, the five people from Bloomington might be at the high school together in the computer lab, the five people from Mercer County might be together in the computer lab, or all 10 people might be back home in their, you know, computer rooms at home or their bedrooms or wherever their computer is, logging on to the same server, and once they've got everybody that they need to be there, they play the game. And so the talk was, if we had a state series, would we have a model that looked like that, or would we think that we would bring everybody together to a site and have them play against one another in the same setting? And so if we did that, which is, seemed to be what they felt at least initially would be more appropriate, then that would lead in or make it maybe easier to say, okay, if we're going to have a regional tournament or a sectional tournament at Geneseo, just to make that up, then here's what Geneseo's got to provide. These kinds of computers with this kind of, you know, these kinds of consoles, these kinds of keyboards, whatever it might be, to try to level that playing field between the two, or between all the schools that are assigned to a given area. So yeah, it was a very interesting discussion to listen to them explain how all of this unfolds and then could unfold.
Yeah, and I know if people are joining you just mid-thought, they're listening and they're saying, wait a minute, Mercer County's playing Bloomington in esports? Wait a minute. Of course, you're just making this up an example, so calm down, listening audience. And you bring up the other interesting thing, you know, with, like, terms and conditions, too. So basically, it's like a third party, then, that kind of oversees some of these esports competitions, you know,
right,
in terms of scoring and it, you know, scoring and things of that nature. That's how it works.
Yes, there's this, like I said, this IHSEA right now. That's a loosely configured grouping of schools that schedules and keeps tracks of wins and losses of competitors, and they use like an internet-based platform that they use for their games. It's a very large network that there's a slight fee. My understanding is there's a fee that schools, that when they participate, pay so they can buy this network space that they can then go and play on. There are other groups out there nationally who do the same kind of thing. And there's actually some groups that are partnering with other states around the country to provide a turnkey kind of approach to gaming. And so this third party comes in, they put in all the infrastructure that a school might need, they schedule all the competitions, and really run gaming for the state. So the state office is really involved in name only, while this outside group does all the work. So there are a couple of different models out there that are being utilized right now nationally.
All right. Again, talking with Kirk Gibson with the IHSA and the Esports Advisory Committee held their first meeting earlier this month. They have another meeting, I think, set for May 13th.
And May 13th, yeah.
And as I wrap up, you know, I know some of the people listening will, the critics of this will say, do we really, come on, Taylor, do we really need a state championship in video gaming in Illinois? Is this good? Is this a good direction we are going? I'm sure that you have heard probably some of that in your travels as well. So what are those conversations when you hear things like that?
I said this to our committee, I think that's, in my view, the biggest obstacle that has to be overcome, because I've heard that a lot. And quite honestly, I was saying those kinds of things until about 18 months ago when I was invited to go to a small conference that was being held during the summer here in town that was all about technology. It was a technology conference, but as a part of it, they had a little exhibition, 5-on-5 League of Legends game between two schools, and I was invited to come watch that. And at that moment, I said, this is an opportunity to get more students involved in their school, because what I saw that day, as I mentioned earlier in our interview, was just like I see when I go to a basketball game on a Friday night. I see students from a school working together to accomplish something. Yes, it's non-traditional, but organizations like ours, if we're going to thrive in the 21st century, we need to be looking for what the new things are out there that students in high schools like to play, because they're getting more active in a lot of different arenas, so to speak, and there are more tie-ins to job preparation in esports than we might imagine. And so it does make sense to be thinking about offering a competition in this activity, but there's a lot of education that we need to do so people can understand what the benefits are.
Well,
that's going to be the biggest thing we've got to get accomplished.
Well, and I think you look at the high technology world we live in, and video gaming or esports is high technology. I mean, it's high technology, and we used as an example as we begin our conversation that you talked about the old, you know, we're talking about 1970s, right? Mid-1970s, so we're talking, you know, less than 50 years. We see, if you call what esports began as, right? I mean, you talk about that Mattel handheld, you know, football game that you play with, you know, digital beep-beep noise when you played. And then we talked about, well, the next video game that came to your TV was Pong. All right. And now you fast forward to 2019, and you see what technology has equated to in terms of esports or video gaming. I mean, that the high-end technology is I agree with what you talk about. You know, there are some definite things that apply when we're talking about the world we're living in.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Exactly.
All right, so the next meeting is May the 13th. Is there anything specific that the committee's looking at to pinpoint or accomplish at that coming out of that meeting?
Well, in between our first meeting and this May 13th meeting, the Illinois Directors of Student Activities had a conference, and there was a couple of breakout sessions on esports. And we've encouraged the committee members between that opportunity and just the course of normal dialogue with colleagues around the state to pick the brains of other people who do esports, try to get a better sense of, you know, what games might be appropriate so that we can talk a little bit more seriously about, you know, games. Because once we can, it felt, at least through that discussion at first meeting, once we can land on the games that we're talking about, that's going to provide a roadmap for all the other things that need to fall into place. So we want to talk more about the games, and we wanted to talk more about where a state series down the road might fit in best on sort of the IHSA calendar. One of the things the committee wanted to also be sensitive to was not trying to fit it into the calendar where it might force students to be in some kind of conflict with other sports or activities. So they're going to look and talk and get a sense of where it might make sense to have a state series someday. So those seems to be the next two big things that we're going to discuss on the 13th. Certainly there will be other topics, but that's going to be the focus.
All right. So if there was like an in-house, like round robin tournament within the IHSA of like, say, NBA 2K, who do you think would win that down there?
I think it would definitely be Matt Troha. It would not be me. I would lose and probably be shut out in the first round. Matt seems to have the zen-like state that he gets into whenever he hears people talking about video games. So I think he would be the heavy favorite.
All right. Well, I was going to go for either Attitude or Scott Johnson as the dark horse down there. But anyway, I appreciate your time as always, and I think this is something interesting to follow. And you brought up some great points about, you know, the critics who don't like this, and even you said 18 months ago, I don't know, you know, if I'm on board. But and I think I was talking to, I can't remember, maybe it was Craig Anderson I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, or somebody with the IHSA, or I think it was Sam Knox. And the one thing I tell people about the IHSA in terms of, like, you know, whatever activity you follow, I think it's really important in the IHSA is pretty transparent with these advisory committees with posting these minutes, because that's where you can learn a lot of the information of what's going on. It's not that hard to find. You go to the specific page of the sport, it says advisory committee, has advisory committee meeting minutes. And when they posted that this week, that the esports advisory committee met for the first time, you know, I got in the minutes. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. League of Legends, Overwatch, Smash, Rocket League, NBA 2K, FIFA, and NHL. Those are the games they're considering. So, I mean, I think that's important for people to remember the website, IHSA.org, where all these advisory committee minutes are available for all activities and sports within the IHSA. I mean, that's pretty important in terms of if you want to digest or peruse some of this information, because it's available.
Yeah, it's critical. Yes, yeah, so you're exactly right. Fans of any sport or activity can follow the most recent happenings. Nothing happens in isolation within our association. All that information is out there, and sometimes that's one of the struggles we have when we feel like people out on the outside haven't kept abreast. And it's a good reminder for us when we get involved outside of things in our professional life about the importance of, as citizens, keeping abreast of what's happening in our own little worlds, you know. But you're exactly right. It's all available.
All right, Kirk Gibson, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jim.
Talking eSports with Kirk Gibson with the IHSA on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.